Big Wow.
Coming up next on
No Jay, we got this. Come on, ladies, let's show them what we're working with.
I think that I'm in love.
April showers bring May flowers, and Friday night, we ladies bring true insight on Ladies First Rate of the TJRS Radio Network, a show for women by women. Oh, and we love our men, too. It's your resident, Mouth of the South, Mom the Little Donna, with my girl, Dr. Princess Odelia. And tonight, we're going to do our best to take the blinders off your eyes with our topic, When Your Happiest Child is Depressed. Do you really know what lies behind the smile of your child? Is she or he hiding pain from you? Are you really paying attention to the little red flag? We have our fitness and health tip along with our poetry corner as well. So, let's do this!
Shock and disbelief after this South Florida college student took his own life before a live internet audience.
He was very happy. When he was in public, when he was around people, he was very happy. And there's really very little indication otherwise. In a normal day, you really couldn't tell that he got as low as he did.
I wish he had been able to talk to someone. It's a really, real big shame that we lost someone so young.
Very kind-hearted. Everybody knows him as a good kid. I knew him like that. He was a good friend of mine.
She was just a good girl. This is a part I'll never forgive myself for because she was looking for me to help calm her down like I normally always did and be there for her. And I was upset with her because I didn't like the language that she was using, and I was upset that she didn't listen to me and sign off when I told her to. And so I was aggravated with her about that and told her that she knew better. And she just said to me, "You're supposed to be my mom. You're supposed to be on my side." And she took off running upstairs and just saw her hanging from her closet.
When I heard him say to me, "I have no friends," It brought back when I went through depression.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really feel so alone. I told him, I said, "Mike, I'm going to be there Monday, and it's going to be okay." But depression doesn't wait till Monday.
The clips you just heard are true, actual accounts of loved ones reflecting on a young life lost from suicide. The role of a parent is total commitment, not partial. There is no middle ground. Are you all in with your child?
Welcome to Ladies First Radio on the TJRS Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome everyone to Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network. Hopefully, all of you are having a wonderful day. 347-850-1272 is our caller number. That's 347-850-1272. If you would like to call in and speak to either me, your host for tonight, Mom to Little Donna, and hopefully Dr. Prince Odea is here with me, but if not, we're going to keep the show going. Now, I do want to apologize for the opening clip that you just heard. We're actually not going to talk about the topic, When Your Happiest Child is Depressed. That was an April show that we did. Tonight, we're actually talking about the face of a molester. Can you tell who's a molester just by looking at them? Now, let me see if Dr. Princess Odelia is here with me yet. Dr. Princess Odelia, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Dr. Hi. Princess Odelia, how you doing?
Wonderful. Yeah, I was here.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I got kind of confused there for a minute because I was like, wait a minute, that's a show we did in April.
Yeah, I was listening. I'm thinking, I think that's the wrong clip.
Yeah.
But it's okay. okay? You know, somebody needed to hear it. Somebody needed to hear it.
Yeah, obviously so. Maybe so. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, nothing is by accident, but, you know, they're going to get a double whammy. They got that because you said you had a message in all of that. So, hey, that was great. So we're doing good.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe someone did need to hear it, and maybe something's telling us that we might need to revisit that topic too. So we have to keep that in the back of our mind for future reference.
Yes, for sure.
So how's your week been?
It has been productive, and you know what? I have to take that out. Okay. It's been very, very productive. I've got quite a bit done, trying to get ready to fly out this weekend, and so I've been really trying to press my button on a lot of tasks that I have on my list.
Uh-huh. Are you tackling that list? Are you getting it done?
I am, in fact, yesterday, you know, and I talked to people about being inspired, knowing when to stop and to pace themselves in whatever they do. And I have to tell you, one thing that is just a natural characteristic of mine is not knowing when enough is enough and to just stop. I am driven by the task, by the passion, and I can take it overboard. And I'm going to tell you, yesterday my body said, listen, hey you, sit down or I'm going to shut you down. So later on in the evening, I got a bad headache and was kind of sick, and it was no staying up if I tried. I had to go to sleep. So I said, oh, I get it. So, yeah.
Well, at least you listen, because I know there's a lot of us, when our bodies are giving us those warning signs, we'll keep right on going, like, and just ignore everything until we end up in the hospital or flat on our backs. So at least you listen.
Well, yeah, I listen. You know, it shouldn't get to that point, though. You know, that's just the real truth. So everybody, don't try this at home. Your body should not get to the point that it's shutting itself down. And you know what it was? I think I was driving on caffeine. And I didn't have my caffeine yesterday. And the real, how I really felt stepped up. The truth of what my body was really saying was loud and clear. Like, oh, really? You know caffeine today? Let me show you what's really going on.
Wow. All right, for all those listening in the chat room, once again, thank you for taking your Friday to listen to us ladies here on Ladies First Radio. Tonight, Dr. Princess Odilia and I, it's actually like a little series that we're going to try to do on abuse, and I thought we could start the series with the child sexual abuse part of it.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because last Friday, I was flipping through the TV after the show, and they had a rerun of one of Oprah's old episodes on there. And this episode actually aired last year in October. And it was about this young teenager who's currently in jail now, but he killed his molester. Oh. And he actually stabbed him 56 times. I wish we had played it. Yeah, I wish we had played that clip because, you know, she's asking him questions about, well, why did you have to stab him 56 times? And he made the comment, and in doing that time period when he was stabbing the man, that he blanked out. He doesn't even remember doing it. So something in him snapped. You know, he had enough, and he just took matters into his own hands, and he killed his molester.
Wow.
So, you know, that caught my attention. I decided to sit there and listen. And as I'm listening to the story, his parents are on there, and, you know, he just went on. His parents talked about how this man that came into their life was actually a friend of the family.
Wow.
And,
wow.
You know, the mom, she was she thought she was on top of her game because she did not allow her son to associate with this man by himself for years. You know, it was either her husband was with the son or she was with the son whenever they went to visit the man. The son was never alone for years. until it's like this. My son. And it's just amazing to hear the patience that this man took, the amount of time and energy he took to make sure that he gained those parents' trust so that he could get this child alone to molest him.
Wow.
And
wow.
And of course the consequences was, you know, like I said, the son, he's in jail right now, and a lot of the community, they were upset because of what the son did. And I, you know, I understand taking a life is wrong. It is wrong, but I feel like he didn't know he snapped. There's no justification for him taking that man's life, but he had had enough. And I just felt like we needed to do this story tonight because there's someone out there right now that might be listening, and they have children, and they have friends or family, you know, relatives that are really close to the family. And I'm not saying you need to look at anyone, you know, with a sly eye, but we really have to be careful with our kids, especially today. There are so many molesters out there, and it scares me to death to think that, you know, something could hurt my children like that. It's like, what would I do in that situation? I don't know about you, Dr. Crystal O'Gooney, how you feel about it.
Oh, I feel the same way. And, you know, it seems as though we have a situation here, like you said, there was a situation where they were unclear. They were friends with them for a while, and then they finally allowed them to, you know, connect or to spend time together. And it's really interesting, Mom, too, because a molester, there are all different types of molesters. Okay, you've got molesters that are like, quote unquote, on the surface, the perfect picture of a man or the perfect picture of a woman. Mm-hmm. How about the perfect picture of a child? How about children? And I'm saying this because I spoke with a child not too long ago that was a very innocent child. Okay. He had the type of family environment that did not shelter him, but they didn't have a lot of garbage and, you know, situations involved in their lives, you know, violence and different things of that nature. This kid was bullied by a friend who the parent allowed them to stay. The little kid, you know how you just have like little boys stay over the night or little girls stay. You know, no big deal, right? It's just, hey, your kids are staying over, no big deal. Well, the parent allowed for this kid to spend the night with her son, and the son, being as nice as he was with this other kid, and the other kid influenced him to do some things that he had no desire nor knowledge to do. He was completely oblivious as to what he was doing on and on and on, you know, in this conversation they were having after the lights were out.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, the bully kid ended up molesting the little boy, which the little boy was older than the little kid by a couple of years. And then he told him after he was done, because he didn't realize what happened, he said, if you tell somebody, he told him he had to do this, that, and the other. He was going to tell his whole family everything that he did, his mom, his dad, blah, 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 blah. And he blackmailed the kid. So you have kids that have this faith on. We've got to just watch our children. Bottom line, you can't really trust just people. I don't care if they're uncles. It's really that serious. It's really that serious.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, because, you know, when I was growing up, I know, you know, my mom and dad, they had to talk with me. They started having those conversations with me. I think my earliest memory of those conversations when I was like six, you know, the good touch, the bad touch. And even then, you know, they would say, it's not always a stranger. It could be somebody that you think you know. And I remember them having those conversations with me, but at the same time, you know, they allowed me to go over people's house. You know, we had pajama parties. We were being kids, and even though the molesters were around, you know, as I was growing up, it's not as prevalent as it is today. I actually have on my computer is a website, and it's called Florida Sexual Offenders, where I can go on there and actually check to see how many are living in the area, you know, where I live. And so in preparing for this show, I hadn't done it in a while. It's been about 2 months since I actually went on there and checked. So I said, you know what, let me just see if the number has decreased or increased or what's going on. So I pull it up, I click on it, and what it does, it shows where I live, and then it gives the map, and for every molester that has, you know, is registered, there's this little red dot that shows up on the screen, you know, depending on how wide area you have. So when I clicked on it, I was like, okay, nothing's happening. But then I turned my back and I looked at the screen again. I kid you not, Dr. Princess Odelia, I thought I was looking at a Christmas tree.
Wow.
There was just like red dots all over the place. And I'm like, oh my goodness. My heart almost, it literally jumped. I'm like, oh my God.
Right.
And then I start clicking, you know, reading to see how close they were. And like, they're in a 2 mile radius, 1 mile radius. I'm like, oh, that even makes you a little bit more frantic. So I was like, oh, wow, this is really, really getting out of hand. What can we do?
Wow. It's really nothing. I say, for one, when your children are young, unfortunately, because everybody has to work and do all of that kind of stuff, it's the reason that it's so prevalent, because there are not a lot of eyes and ears around. When your children are young, before that teenage time, we really have to watch our children. I mean, really. And watch how you let the children spend the night again. You know, and I mean, just seriously, you don't want to seem like you're crazy or anything, or, you know, treat the kids like they are living in a box. There's a way to present what you're really trying to do without making the kids feel uncomfortable or feel as though, you know, there's a reason for fear. You have to use wisdom in that, wisdom in your parenting. But, you know, it can be anywhere. It can be anywhere, and you have to really follow your heart. I really do believe that a lot of times, I'm strong on this. You know I am. I'm really strong on realizing that our spirit, our inner spirit, especially that instinct of a parent, will click to us many times, but oftentimes we'll ignore it and think that just because this person or that person we know or whatever, and we feel that they won't do it, and you may even question the little unction that you had, and then justify it because you think who they are. But let me tell you, when you have that unction, you aren't crazy. Some of you may feel like, oh, well, I shouldn't follow that because maybe you were molested as a child. So maybe you think that you're just kind of tripping because you were molested as a child, and you think that you're, you know, you don't want to shelter your child. You want to kind of give them some freedoms, and you don't want your past issues to affect your child today. I am telling you this. Follow your uncle.
That's
safe and sorry, but don't, but also do not tear down child's opportunity to be a child by presenting it to them in a very fearful, you know, overprotective type manner. You have to use your wisdom and skill for that.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you 100%. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number if you'd like to call in and just give us your opinion of our topic for tonight with Dr. Princess Odelia and I. I know when you're talking about how that there's a way that we can let our children be children and not act like we're, you know, being overprotective. I know there are some families in the dance studio that when they get their girls or daughters together, you know, how we used to have slumber parties when we grew up.
Yeah.
Well, now the way they do it is they have the mommy daughter party. So to make sure that everyone feels comfortable with allowing their children to spend the night over someone else's house, the mom is there. But, you know, it's a way for, the moms are there with their daughters, and they all spend the night. And I think that is a really good idea. And one of the reasons why they decided to do that is because of all the molesters in the area. You know, like you said, we might be friends with someone, really close to someone, and we feel like, oh, no, they would never do that to our child. But you never, never know. You can,
no.
For me, it's like you can never be too careful when it comes to protecting your children. And you should
yeah.
do everything you can. Like, lock the box and never let them come out. You don't want to
yes.
be like that either.
That's right. That's right. And that's what's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
and I
very
think, yes, it's something that says very, very important. We should really talk to our children about the good touch, bad touch. Not when they are 9 or 10 years old. But even younger than that. As soon as they're able to talk.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. I was hearing some feedback from my phone. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was wondering. I thought it was me. I'm over here moving cords.
I don't know. I know there's a storm in my area, so hopefully it might be my phone.
Okay, because I'm moving stuff. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I think it's me. Okay.
Hopefully it'll clear up.
Yeah, awesome.
No? Okay. Yeah, but you know, even with my two little girls, before they could start to talk, I wouldn't leave them with anybody, Dr. Princess Odelia, because they couldn't talk. And I was
That's
afraid
right.
that someone would do something to them, and they wouldn't be able to tell me, you know, if someone touched them the wrong way.
Yeah,
It took a long time for me to even let my mother-in-law stay home with them. Because I'm like, wait a minute, they can't talk. They can't tell me if somebody touched them. But as soon as they started to learn little words, and as they got older, I started to teach them, you know, the good touch and the bad touch. And tell them in ways that they understand for their age level.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important, too, to
yes,
get started.
Yes.
Yeah. And make sure to let them know that the friend is not always a stranger. It could be a friend, someone that they really think they
yeah.
could trust.
Yeah.
If they tell them, oh, don't tell Mommy and Daddy, it's our little secret.
Yeah.
Tell them straight up. Adults do not have secrets with kids. If they're saying that, there's something wrong. Don't be afraid to tell Mommy and Daddy.
That's right. That's right. And,
yeah.
and you know what? And I would even go to the length, and even if they say they're going to kill somebody or they're going to do whatever, I would let them know
mm-hmm.
already. Well, you know what? You're not going to be in trouble, so just go ahead and tell me. Nothing's
right.
going to happen. And
right.
we have to be very open with our children. But, you know, like I said, you have to follow your unction, listen to the signs of the children, especially the young children. If they are if they're crying, or they're always sick, there's a reason why. It's not because they're being bad and they just want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why. And no matter how you try to justify the scenario, there is no justification. Their signs are there, and you have to follow them. And I'm telling you, me at my age now, having two children at the age they are now, I have been now given so much more wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when we're little, like when I was little, nobody ever said why something was the way it was. They just said do it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, they didn't really talk to you. They just said just do it. And you're like, well, why?
Right.
You know, and nobody wanted to talk. But we have to really make it very strong that talk to your children. They're not stupid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Bible
mm-hmm.
says that the children will come older and wiser. These children are very wise, and they can
mm-hmm.
read between the lines. They know when something is not right. I remember when I was little, there was somebody that used to play with us. And the person would always grab hold of me in a very uncomfortable way where I, even as a little girl, I would feel almost unclean just from him putting me against his body. And I was a little girl, and I remember kind of like after it was all over, it would be a bunch of us were laughing, playing with the kids and all that, and I could step away, and I would just feel like, present wasn't exactly right. But then I would brush it off because everybody else thought this person was a great person, so maybe I was tripping, you know? what do I know? I'm a kid, you know. So now I watch for those things, and I'm not afraid to hurt anybody's feelings, but you know what? It is what it is. We have to be very careful with our children. You cannot judge a book by its cover. You have to follow. I think that's the strongest sign, is how you feel on the inside.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that, because that is one of the things that I told my daughters. I said, if someone's touching you and it just doesn't feel right, it just feels funny to you, come tell mommy. Come tell me. I don't care who it is. Just tell mommy what it, you know, how it makes you feel. And 2 years ago, my daughter was in Sunday school, at church, and the teacher at the time, I could tell there was something, like you said, the instinct. Every time my daughter would come out of the class, she just was not herself. So I finally asked her, I said, sweetie, what's wrong? What's wrong? And she looked at me and she goes, mommy, so-and-so, they touched me and I don't feel right. I said, well, tell me how she's touching it. And she showed me, and all the teacher was doing was putting her hands on her shoulder, but my daughter still didn't like the way she was doing it. So I said, okay, thank you for telling mommy, and I gave her a hug, and I said, I love her, you know, and try to let her know that I was supporting her. So I said, I will talk to you, teacher, the next Sunday. So the following Sunday, I pulled the teacher aside. I said, listen, there might not be anything to it, but my daughter just really does not like you putting your hands on her shoulder. It makes her feel very uncomfortable. And she was like, oh, okay, I won't do that anymore. Well, I guess maybe she forgot, and she did it again. And Deanna came, and she told me again. She goes, mommy, she touched me again. I said, well, how did she touch you? She goes, she put her hands on my shoulder again. So I was like, okay, I will deal with it. So finally I said, listen, my daughter does not like to be touched. Please, please, just keep your hands off of her. And if you can't do that, I'm going to pull her out of class. Because this is the second time she has come to me. And I know, like I said, it might not be anything to it, but she just doesn't like the way you're touching her. Keep your hands to yourself. And she's like, okay, okay. Well,
wow. You're not going to tell me she touched her again.
She did.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, that's it. So I pulled her out, and she came to me, and she goes, well, why isn't your daughter in our class anymore? I said, well, I had a conversation with you twice about you touching her, and she came and told me that you touched her again, and I explained to you she does not like you to touch her. And for some reason, you just can't seem to keep your hands off of her. So I'm pulling her out of class. Well, that was the end of that, because they finally got another teacher. And like I said, maybe there was nothing to that, the way she was touching her, but it just made my daughter feel uncomfortable. And as a parent, it was my responsibility to take action so that my daughter saw, you know, if something more serious was to happen, she knew that I would have her back. And that was like, you know, that's the first step. Let your kids know you have their back no matter what. That they should never be afraid to tell you anything, no matter if it's nothing. Still, let them tell you, because to them it is something. And we have to listen. We really have to listen to our kids.
And you know what else is important too? And it's important not to be very, not to lash out at the child. And not directly at them, but for example, when they want to tell you something and you tell them all of the threats and all the things that you're going to do to the person that actually does something to them. Well, when you're doing that to a young child, that child can also feel as though they're trying to protect that person that is actually touching them, because a lot of times, the person that is doing the touching or making the child feel uncomfortable, in many cases, it's a person that the child actually loves and just cannot explain why they're being touched or you know, whatever, put in an awkward position with this individual. So if you tell the child, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this to them, it can scare the child to silence.
Yes.
So be very careful of that. And I say that because I've been down that road. I'm going to take on that job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And you know what? Hear the child. I'm serious. Now, I've done all that, too. I did exactly what I said I was going to do if anybody ever did anything like that. But I'm just saying, you have to be very careful of that because you can scare them to silence. And they will. So you have to be very careful about the way you approach the situation. It's very gentle. As you did, it's very gentle. I commend you for that, where he was able to come to you and you were able to just maintain your composure, talk to her, just opening up the window of opportunity for communication, and that's what's important.
Yes. Thank you. And on that note, we have to go to our first break of the evening, but don't go anywhere. We have our fitness and health tip. And when we come back, I know Princess Odelia has a moment of inspiration for us. So sit tight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
It's the newest show on the TJRS Radio Network. Join Kathleen Williams.
You mentioned the pool. So that means my house, if I'm looking at mortgages, when you say a pool, you mean like my house and Jane's house and George's house, and the mortgages from all these houses are piled up together and sold on Wall Street.
And Jay Rao.
And my question is this. I used to be in the mortgage business, and what I want to know is that when you start talking about these things, now you guys really and truly believe that the subprime mortgage industry had a lot to do with where we are now in this failed state. Am I correct in assuming that?
My fall was that I was made new again. I was restored in prison. And that's how far I had to get. That's what it took. It took me to be arrested. It took me to sit in that cell.
Oh, you were arrested for that? For the physical violence?
Yes, I was.
They knew where we were coming from. We both were in a really bitter, disgruntled state. But, and really had given up on love.
Adam, where art thou? Sunday night, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on the TGRS Radio Network.
Hi. This is Mom to Little Donna with your fitness and health tip for the week. Question, how many hours of sleep do you get? More important question, did you know that a lack of sleep elevates your risk of high blood pressure, obesity, and can even lead to type 2 diabetes? In fact, 3 consecutive nights of restless sleep is equivalent to gaining 20 to 30 pounds. Yes. Sleep is just as important as exercise, and if you're not getting enough rest, no matter how slim and fit you are, you're putting your health at risk. So, how much sleep should you get? Contrary to popular belief, 8 hours is not the rule. If you feel well rested when you wake up, regardless of how long you slept, then you're getting enough rest for your body. But, if you're feeling sluggish during the day, then you're not getting enough sleep. So, turn off that TV, leave the chores for another day. Sleep well, eat healthy, and keep on exercising. This fitness tip can be found at www.fitnessmagazine.com.
Second half of Ladies First Radio of the TJRS Radio Network, a show for women, by women. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number. Now, if you're just now joining us, the first half of our show, Dr. Princess Odelia and I, we were talking about the face of a molester and the warning signs and the little things you need to look out for as far as trying to protect our children. Now, before we jump back into our topic, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Princess Odelia because I know she has something extraordinary to share with us. Go ahead, Dr. Princess. It's all yours.
All right. Thank you. Okay, you know what? Today I just want to have a quick chat. And my chat is coming from the heart. Because without sharing all of my family business on this show, I was someone who was in a relationship once. It was a couple of years before I let the person in to even meet my children, or nearly 2 years. And that person I began to trust. And that person was the person who put my daughter in a very awkward situation, to say the least. And I didn't, as I remember, this person had a good faith. This person was loved by many. But this person that even I trusted and my children at the time trusted, that person touched my daughter. And I proceeded to do as I promised my daughter that I would do if anybody ever did. And that was fine. But there is something that cannot be taken away. And that is that person that touched my daughter. A person that I trust. And there are things that I wish I could do differently right now. And there are things that I am definitely wiser about. But I want to just encourage everyone to pay attention. Pay attention to the dreams. Pay attention to the friends. Pay attention to the family. Pay attention. And even when your child may seem as though they are too close to something, pay attention. And that's
okay. Wow. Well, I'm glad we're doing this show tonight.
Yeah.
I feel like we were supposed to do this show, not just to help others, but I think also so that you can let that go. Let it be a relief. 347-850-1272 is our calling number. And just listening to you as you were expressing your experience doing that, it just made me think about how would I react in that situation? And knowing my personality, I probably would have done the same thing you did. Because you and I have talked, so I know you told me a little bit about it, so even though I would not want to take that route, knowing my personality, I probably would have done the same thing.
Oh,
and
because
it's your baby.
Wait a minute. It's better than killing them, right?
Yeah.
It's better than murder.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It really is. Now, I encourage all of you in the chat room and those listening right now, if you go to Oprah.com and just do a search, there on her website, she has the 6 ways that a molester gets to your child. And I encourage all of you just to go there and just read the things that is on there, because it will just, it's an eye-opening, or should I say an awakening experience, just to read how the molesters, they get close to you. And by getting close to you, they get close to the child. And as I was reading, I'm thinking, wow. You know, you start really thinking about everyone that's close to you. And like you said at the beginning, we don't want to start keeping everybody at arm's length and trying to protect our children behind a wall where they can never be kids.
That's
but at the
right.
same time, we do want to take that necessary step to make sure we are doing everything we can so that hopefully, and with God's will, our children will never have to go through something horrible as having their innocence taken away. Because when their innocence is gone, it's gone. They can't get it back.
Yeah. And you know what else? It's very important, too. You know, I'm sorry. You know, you have some people that, and I, you know, that will look at the child. And I remember when my daughter was 11, 12, and she wanted to go and play over this friend's house. And I had, you know, since then, I don't let her. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, does the girl have a boyfriend? Yeah, oh, you know, I go. I'm sorry, you know.
Right, okay.
Or, you know, especially if I meet a person, the parents and the wife, you can tell when some women are just, if that man told her the sky was green, she would say, yes, it's green, baby. And I
mm-hmm.
just, you know, even that kind of scenario, no, I'm sorry, you know. watch the way women raise their daughters. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's very important. All of those things are important factors. And I'm you know, I thought I was tight rope before, but, and I'm not tight where I keep my daughter close. I don't. She has life. But I am going to tell you, I am watchful, very
yes.
watchful. And when it comes to the, you know, the spending night thing and all that, and, you know, just, you know what? They don't have to spend the night. They just don't have to, you know. I'm a firm believer of now. You know, they just don't have to. Even kids as well. You know, you've got these teenagers that are doing things that are manipulative to these children. I mean, it's not just the adult people. It's just your babysitter. It's your, you know, and it's not to put fear in you. It's just real talk. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think back on even my genre, back, you know, not my genre, my age, when we sit down and talk, you'd be surprised the stories that we all have about uncles and cousins and friends and things that we did with our, you know, it's amazing. So we really just
mm-hmm.
have to watch, you know?
Yeah. And I agree with you. Like you said, they do not have to spend the night. And, you know, it's a shame. It really is a shame that is almost being taken away, where we can't allow our kids to spend the night over someone's house without that fear of someone touching them.
Yeah, or tell the kids to come over to your house. I, you know, that's what I started doing. I'm like, well, you can have a slumber party, and I know how I run my household. So I'm like, they can come over here. But even then, hey, you guys bring your pallet, because everybody's going to have a pallet. They're going to, you know, sleep like that, okay? Somebody's going to be sleeping in the same bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were little, we used to sleep at the foot of the bed, at the top of the bed. And we,
oh, yeah.
We didn't do things like that, you know. I've never had occurrences with little friends when I was little.
Uh-huh.
It's those older people that, you know, they give you the eyes, or they talk to you about stuff they shouldn't talk to you about, you know, when older people talk to teenagers about sex life, you know, saying
mm-hmm.
how fine you look, you know, what
right,
is a man
right.
looking at your 11-year-old, and you can tell where they're saying, oh, she is so fine, excuse me, oh no, guess what, you're not staying here tonight.
But you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because it takes me to another point I want to mention, and I'm going to put it out there. And in my, I don't know, like a dictator, but I'm going to, for all the moms that are listening right now, if you have young daughters, I'm just going to let you know how it is. If you're allowing your daughters to go out there with those short shorts, anything, you are putting them out of sale. You want a molester or someone else to pick them up. Think about the way your daughters are dressing. And I know there are some parents right now that when I tell them, or we're talking in a conversation, and we talk about the way that we let our daughters dress, they will have the nerve to say, oh, but the styles are so cute. And I'm looking at them going, really? Really? You think it's cute? How cute do you think it's going to be when your daughter comes to you and say, Mommy, I've been raped or someone has touched me, we have to take and draw a line. I don't care how much our daughters want to dress in a certain way. We have got to put our foot down and let them know there is a proper way to look like a lady, and then there's the other way that they're actually putting themselves for sale. That's the only way I can describe it. They're for sale. Like, here I am, come and get me.
And that is so true. I remember, well, I tell Lauren a lot of times, I tell her all the time, and she's come to be very respected as a result of it, but I told her, just because everybody's wearing their boobs out and their bellies sitting up, you know, showing their bellies and all that, doesn't mean that you have to feel like you have to do that. And what she found is that when she would go with her friends to the movies and different things like that, is that the boys would give her most of the attention, and she was the one that was all closed up. And I said, hey, I told you. I said, you know, they don't want all that other stuff. They really don't, when they have a choice. Now, if they have a whole group and that's all they have, then they're going to pick the hottest one. It depends on their motive. But you have to be very careful about the way you dress. And I think some parents feel like they don't, it's not their place to say something. I'm like, what has this age come to? You know, what do you mean you don't have a place to say something to your own child? Oh, please. 14, 15 years old, you know. Are you kidding me?
Oh, even younger than that. Even younger than that, I've seen it, and I'm like, are you for real? You're letting your 6 or 7, 8-year-old go out dressed like that? And even my oldest one, when she comes and goes, Mommy, can I wear this or can I wear that? I'll ask her, I said, well, do you see Mommy wearing stuff like that? And she'll say, no. I said, well, if you want to wear that, how are you going to make it so your tail is not showing? Because, you know, all the little girls, they want to wear the short skirt. And she'll look at me and she'll say, I guess I could put on a pair of tights or leggings under it. I say, there you go. Put on some shorts underneath that skirt or put on some leggings so that your butt is not showing. Because you're not going out the house like that. Granted, she's only seven, but she knows that, no, Mommy's not going to let me dress like that. And I had one mom told me, she said, well, if you're being that strict with her now, when she gets older, as soon as she leaves the house, she's going to do what she wants to do anyway. I said, that might be true, because I did it. I'll be honest with you. My mom, she wouldn't let me go out the house. And when I went to school, as soon as I got to school, I switched into the other clothes. But what I learned and what I'm trying to teach her is that at the time, when you're dressing like that, you're trying to get attention. And yes, you're going to get attention, but it's going to be the wrong attention, the attention that you don't want.
Yeah.
And even though you might not be the label that they put on you, if you're dressed like that, you're going to get that label.
Yeah.
You're going to get that label put on you. And that's not what we want our daughters to represent.
Yeah.
They can be as innocent. So- yeah. I mean, they never have had sex. They might still be virgins, but if they're dressing a certain way, they're going to get that label. That hasn't changed.
Wow. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. And it doesn't take much for people to get that perception. And even, you know what's also, I shouldn't say, we can get it. We did a show on this, and we could get into this is like a whole other subject. We could really get into this. But this right here catches the eye of a molester. Also, a molester also doesn't need to see anything, because a molester has no respect to persons nor age or anything else.
True.
They don't care. You can walk around in a jogging suit, or a little girl that has nothing that could even simply be attractive, or a little boy. A molester is a molester.
Yeah.
And, you know,
unfortunately, you're telling the truth.
Wow. And the face of a molester is very hard to, more times than not, it's harder to decipher a face of a molester. You really have to go on your instinct. I'm going to say that 100%. Go on your instinct and look it up. Look the person up. That same person that you have, they have it all over. I remember one time, and when that situation happened, in our family. I said what I said and promised what I promised to my daughter, because when I was young, I remember being touched, and when I was touched, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to break up a family. You know what I'm saying? And I led with that until they touched somebody else in the family, and then I felt obligated because I figured if I would have said something, then that wouldn't have happened. And I actually felt like I was stronger to deal with it than they were. Therefore, I felt really bad. But it was very interesting. And so I made the choice to take that, to adamant about what repercussions would take place, if ever, hypothetically, anything ever. And so those things had to come forth. But I'm going to tell you, it was very, very, very difficult at the time, even putting all that together, like that was even a possibility. But then when you look back, you realize that there were a lot of little signs that I probably thought was nothing, and it was like, you know what, son of a gun, like how did I let that pass? Just when you think you're on your guard, So you have to be very, very careful, very careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love the comment that you made that it's hard to put a face to a molester because, like you mentioned, it could be anyone. It could be, like you said, it could be teenagers now. And I think what was really interesting is as I was reading about the 6 stages of grooming that a molester, takes to try to get to a child, that the number one thing that they always look for is how vulnerable is that child,
Or the parent.
How emotionally needy are they? How isolated is the child or the parent, like you said? How is their self-esteem, their self-confidence? If they have low self-esteem, they seem to tend to go for those children more often than the ones that have, higher self-esteem. Not saying that it's always the norm, but it just seems like they always try to go for, I don't want to say the weaker minded kids, but I don't like to say the word weaker because children are children and they're just innocent. So I don't want to say weak. Maybe I should say they go for the more innocent ones. Maybe that's a better word to use.
Yeah.
So, in reading that, I look at my 2 daughters and they're like night and day. They are completely like night and day. And the one that I worry about the most is the oldest one because she is introverted. I mean, she has friends, but at the same time, she'd rather be by herself than hang out with a group of people. And I'm like, wow. That's the one I have to work on as far as making sure she has, that self-esteem that she needs and knows that mommy's there, that daddy's there, that we're always going to be. That's the one I have to work on. My youngest one, I have to work on her just a little bit, but I'm not as worried about her because she's a fighter. She's my little spitfire. I don't have to worry about her. She'll take anybody down if she could. I think sometimes she wants to take me down when I'm trying to discipline her.
But you know what? I will say this though, Mom too. Sometimes it's that strong one that feels that they can handle it, and they too won't say anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that one that figures they just don't want to cause any havoc, so they'll just be okay. Sometimes it's the child that really feels as though also that if they do speak, they're they have the issue, they're going to break up the family. If they do speak, they're they're possibly going to be able to be separated from their own family. The children that have that wear the big old courage badge that end up being quiet and call themselves taking one for the team. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I think that it really doesn't matter. It does not matter. The only thing that matters, especially if that child really loves that person that is, or trust, or have built a relationship for a long time and they do it, they're more in shock that it was done than anything. And a lot of times their love will overpower them speaking up. That's why you just have to just watch your child, period.
Yeah.
and, you know, to have that talk with them over and over again. Let them know it's okay for them to come and tell you whatever it is, that no matter the threat that the person made, saying, you know, if you tell, I'm going to do this, just make sure that you tell them it's mommy and daddy can protect themselves. And I understand what you're saying. You know, you say when you were younger, someone touched you and that you felt like you couldn't tell anyone because you would break up a family. I think we need to tell them that too.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, it's not their fault. And it's not their responsibility to have to shoulder that. They're kids. They shouldn't have to try to shoulder all of that. And I don't know how you would have that conversation with them where you understand, okay, so I don't have to carry this burden alone. I can talk about it and be comfortable talking about what's going on with them. I don't know.
Wow. You know, it's pretty much just being just that way, saying exactly that. Listen, I shared my story. You know, I, you know, a lot of times we try to keep stuff from our children. It's a whole lot of women and men that have been touched or whatever. And we try to shield a child. We don't want to tell them what we did. You don't want to tell the children anything. That's why a lot of them don't know anything about sex and they're walking around with AIDS and doing this. Because you don't want to tell them that you were a freak when you were a child. Look, I was a freak when I was a child. This is what I did. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, you know, just keep it real with your children. And there is an age that you can do that, okay? When they're little like that, of course, you don't talk about you being a freak or anything. I mean, not you, for example, but third party. I'm being funny here. But you definitely want to have a conversation in that regard. Look, when I was younger, mommy had an experience with this, and this is the way I felt at that time. But what I have learned now is that XYZ, and for that, I want you to do this. I want you to know that the door is open. I want you to know that I understand because I've been there. You'll be surprised the relationship that you build and the level of respect and also the window of communication that you will open when you share, look, I've been there. I understand. Those words are dynamic to a child because they feel like, oh, wow, well, mommy knows, you know, and they feel like they're part of the team. You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that because it also helps the child realize that mommy and daddy are not perfect. I think when I was growing up, like you said, I know personally my parents, whatever they said just goes, but they never explained why. And I never knew, they never told me any of the bad stuff that they did. And it wasn't until I was older, and I started finding out things from other family members, I'm like, wow, and it sort of made me feel like here I have my parents on a pedestal for so long, and then you start hearing all this bad stuff that they did. It's
well,
sort
not
of,
necessarily
you know,
bad, just kid stuff, teenage stuff.
But, you know, it sort of just kind of tarnished that image that I had of them. So I love the way that you said that because it helps the kids understand that, yes, mommy and daddy are not perfect. This is what we did. This is what, you know, the consequences was. So that when they say or they ask that question, why, we shouldn't just say because I said so. Explain to them. Like you said, explain to them.
That's right. You know, I was just reading on this missingkids.com, actually. And they're talking about molestation, et cetera. And it says, society's lack of understanding and acceptance of the reality of acquaintance, molestation, and exploitation of children often results in victims failing to disclose and even denying their victimization, incomplete, inaccurate, distorted victim disclosures when they do happen, degrees of shame, embarrassment, and guilt felt by victims, offenders being able to exploit numerous victims over an extended period of time, and unrealistic prevention programs that render them ineffective and compound the first four problems mentioned above. It's like we don't really talk. It says this publication, well, you know, you can go to missingkids.com, but you we're talking about sexual molestation, sex offenders, things of that nature. We really have to have those conversations. And you know what? People try to keep their kids' eyes closed and ears plugged up. They're getting it on the street. All they have to do is turn the TV on, for God's sake. You know, turn the TV on. They've got the thing. Turn the radio on. You've got it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh,
you know,
girl,